Acts chapter 11 tonight. Thank you, Rhoda. Thank you, Dorothy. There are two publications that we have presented in the Way Ministry and our research ministry. If you do not have a copy, or if you do have a copy and haven't read it recently, I'd like for you to read it this week. If you do not have a copy, you stop at the book table in the back of the auditorium tonight and have Mrs. Allen to give you a copy. The one is entitled The First Century Church in the 20th. The other is entitled The Word's Way or Our Way. I do not have a copy of that up here with me at the moment, but that's the title of it. These two research booklets, The First Century Church in the 20th, or The Word's Way or Our Way, those two booklets will answer so many questions and enable people to have an appreciation of the accuracy of the Word and the outreach of the ministry of that Word. Now, these are thrilling times, because anybody who has a little bit of accurate knowledge of God's Word has more than most other people have, so he's got something he can really share. He can really share. And it's a wonderful thing to be alive and to have the exuberance of the joy of the love of God in your heart and the desire to help people to understand God's Word. For we absolutely believe that there is no way whereby anybody can know God's will without knowing God's Word. For it's God's Word that's God's will. And if people are going to know God's will, they're going to have to know God's Word. And God allows us the privilege of life at this time, the joy of just being alive and helping people to get a knowledge of God's Word. In Acts chapter 11, you will see a record of this very thing in the early church. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the Word of God. The record in chapter 10 is the record of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the Gentiles in the household of Cornelius. This chapter 10 is one of the chapters that's taught in the foundational class on Power for Abundant Living. But seldom do we ever teach the 11th chapter. We just take a segment out of the 11th chapter, which fits into the 10th. But I thought tonight, if we wanted to understand the Word's way or our way or the first century church in the 20th, you'd have to take a look at the depth of this 11th chapter. First of all, the word received is very interesting. Why it does not say lambano instead of decomai is real interesting. The reason apparently is because God was giving by revelation this writing, and the people in Jerusalem who had heard that the Gentiles had received, they could not have said at that time they lambanoed. They simply said what they received, it had to only be spiritual. That's as far as they could go, because certainly they could not have had what we got on the day of Pentecost. This is why I believe that word is decomai instead of lambano in chapter 11, verse 1. Heard that the Gentiles also received the word of God, and when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision, those Jews who were born again of God's Spirit, who had been Jews but now were born again, they were of the circumcision. You understand what that means? Verse 4. But Peter rehearsed the matter. The word rehearsed simply means he told them what had really happened. He told them the whole story, what had occurred from the beginning, and expounded it by order. How it all came to pass unto them, saying, here it is. He said, I was in the city of Joppa. I was praying, and in a trance, a vision. The reason this is true is because the record says so in the 10th chapter and in the 17th verse. And you ought to mark this in your Bible and really understand it, because today in our time, they're always talking about people going into a trance or having a trance. That what they're talking about today is the counterfeit. It's strictly from the pit. It's not from the true God. Because the Word says in verse 17 of chapter 10, while Peter considered in himself what this vision meant. And in verse 10 of the 10th chapter, it says he fell into a trance. He fell into a trance, meaning he had a what? Vision. So, in chapter 11, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a vision, in a trance, I saw a vision. Got it? This trance is that dormant state of mental activity that I described to you in the class as well as a number of weeks ago, or last week, or whenever it was. Now, a certain vessel descended as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even unto me. That must have been a pretty big outfit, pretty big sheet. A certain vessel did send, as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven. Just like a scroll unrolling all the way down, a sheet. It wasn't a sheet, it just looked like one, a picture, a vision. Upon the which, when I had fastened my eyes, verse 6, I considered, and I saw four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered into my mouth. Peter had been quite a legalist, hadn't he? According to the law, he had really worked hard. But, verse 9, the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou what? Common, or defiled. And this was done three times, verse 10, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately, right at that time, there were three men already come unto the house where I was sent from Caesarea unto me, and the Spirit, revelation, word of knowledge, and word of wisdom, bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me. Six of the circumcision boys, six of those who had been Jews by religion, but were born again of God's Spirit, of the circumcision, they went with Peter when he went to the household of Cornelius, and we entered into the man's house. Verse 13. And he, the man, showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Verse 14. Who, this man, shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Now that is tremendous. How are people going to hear the word of God unless God sends a man or a woman to teach the word to somebody to hear it? How are they going to hear the word in Pickway unless somebody takes that word? How are we going to hear it in Urbana unless somebody takes that word? People will get saved. And the word saved, of course, just doesn't mean to come down and get remission of sins. It means that, but it means more. It means to be made whole. W-H-O-L-E. And how in the world can anybody who is a Christian be made whole unless he gets filled with the power of God and manifests the abundance of God and puts on the whole armor of God and all of that which the word talks about? This Peter is going to tell you words whereby thou, Cornelius, and all thy house are going to get saved. God is spirit. If God is going to get any work done, he's got to have men and women to do it. God does not ordinarily reach men and women today except some man or woman knows God's word and carries it forth so that others may hear. Verse 15 says, And as I, Peter, began to speak, the Holy Ghost, the Pneuma, the Hagion, fell on them as on us at the beginning. Now that's tremendous. As Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit, in the King James, is a capital H and a capital G. It should never be a capital H and a capital G. It ought to be a lowercase H and a lowercase S. Because it wasn't the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit is God. It wasn't God who fell on them on the day of Pentecost and here in the household of Cornelius, because God has been from the beginning. But it was God's gift, which is called Holy Spirit. The reason you know this is true from the Word of God, and it should be this, is because in the latter part of the next verse, or the following verse, says so about the gift. Like gift is it given us. In verse 17, for as much then as God gave them the like what? Gift, as he did unto us. He gave them the like what? Gift. Then it wasn't the giver that came, it was the what? The gift. Therefore, the words holy and the words spirit should be lowercase. In the King James, they make it God. That's not God's fault, the translator's fault. Because they thought it was a proper noun, or they were proper nouns. And verse 15 once more. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them as on us at the beginning. Now, if you want to know how it fell on them as it did on, how it fell on the household of Cornelius as it did on those at the beginning, you've got to go back to Acts chapter 2 to find out how it happened on the beginning. Now, for most of you in the auditorium, this is real simple, but for some of you in the auditorium, it's new. So we look to Acts chapter 2. We read on exactly from God's Word, exactly what it says. Not what I think or you think, but what does it say? Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with, again, Holy Spirit, small h, small s. And they began to do what? Speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? That's all that's to the original outpouring. So back to Acts chapter 11, verse 15, fell on them as on us at the what? Beginning. So if it fell on them, those at the household of Cornelius, as it did upon those on the original outpouring at the beginning in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, there must have been one thing that just was so outstanding that you couldn't miss it. And in Acts chapter 2, it was, they spake with what? So, over here, how did Peter know it was on the Gentiles like it was on us at the beginning? You can't see spirit. It can only be because he saw manifestation. And if it's like it was at that time, then they spoke with what? Tongues. That's what the Word says. That's what it means. So why don't people quit arguing with the Word and just believe it? How in the world can people say that they're real believers, real Christians, never renew their mind to God's Word? Just because somebody doesn't know its value doesn't invalidate its greatness. Just because I would not know the value of electricity would not invalidate the great ability or potential that's available to me in electricity, would it? Just because I do not know what speaking in tongues is good for wouldn't invalidate speaking in tongues. The reason we do not know the value of speaking in tongues is because we've never read God's Word and believed what's said. If we'd read God's Word and study God's Word, there are at least 13 different things that speaking in tongues will do for a believer. And if you don't even know one, you can't tell me you study God's Word. You've listened to preachers and unbelievers and somebody that always wants to throw it out. They didn't read it from the book, honey. That's right. Because when you read the Word of God, it says here that the household of Cornelius did the same as what they did on the original outpouring. Well, what did they do? They spake in tongues. That's what the Word says. It's what it means. So quit arguing. Believe God's Word or just get out. You know, the pail. That's what we ought to do. Get to the place where we either believe God's Word or say, chuck the whole thing. May I show you 1 Corinthians 14? Shouldn't be new to a lot of you in here. Is to some of you. That's why I show it to you. In chapter 14, in verse 5, Paul says, it isn't Paul saying it, it's God saying it, but Paul writing. Paul is the writer of it, God is the author. I would that ye all, what? With what? I would ye all speak with tongues. In the last verses of this chapter, verse 37, if any man think himself to be a prophet, or if he thinks he's a spiritual man, let that man acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of what? The Lord. I would ye all speak with tongues then is a what? Commandment of what? That's right. It's a commandment from God. And if people say they walk before God and they believe God's Word, they ought to be doing the things God said so, right? Back to Acts 11. The Holy Spirit fell on them as on us at the beginning, verse 16. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that the Lord said, John baptized with what? Water. But you shall absolutely, ye shall, puts it in the absolute, be baptized with water and the Holy Spirit. No. No, doesn't say that. But that's what the organized Christian church says today. They say the first part and hardly the second. That's right. They say you got to be baptized with water, but you don't hear very much in the organized church about being baptized with the Holy Ghost. In the Word of God, you hear nothing about water and all about the Holy Ghost. Somebody's wrong. Either the Word's wrong or the current theological push we're under. You know, I think Peter liked water about as much as anybody. Because he had been trained under the old Jewish law, the very thing you wrote was fine. Carried over from the Old Testament. And when those Gentiles, according to Acts chapter 10, received the Holy Spirit, were born again of God's Spirit, received the Holy Spirit, it shook Peter. Even though God had let the sheep down, had given him a vision, had talked to him by word of knowledge and word of wisdom, it was just too much for Peter to take. Well, I understand this because I teach classes on power for abundant living, and they're just too much for people to take. You know, they get so much, and then all at once, boy, they said, that can't be. Well, now, I understand that. Understand people. You know, Peter was a person. He's a human being. He ate soup and fried potatoes and I suppose you had baloney. Peter was a human being. He had been brought up under the law. We read how perfectly he endeavored to keep it, right? Here these Gentiles, while Peter was yet preaching, the Gentiles received the new birth, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues, and old Peter started pulling his hair out and said, "Oh, God, it can't be." But there it was. When Peter said, "Well, boy, I think we still better give him a little water to make sure." That was that legalism coming up. That's what it says in Acts 10. Did you ever read it? Sure, you've read it. All of you in the class have. Verse 47 of Acts 10. Well, verse 46, it said, "For they heard them speak with what? Tongues, magnifying God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water?" Just about that time, the Lord said, "Hey, Peter, hold a minute. Hold it, Peter. Then remembered I..." What? "The word of the Lord." In verse 16 of chapter 11. How that the Lord said, "John baptized with what? Water. But ye shall absolutely be baptized with pneumahagion." The pneumahagion is the gift. The gift of Holy Spirit, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And all the other things that come with it. Isn't that wonderful? Peter wanted to water baptize because he just couldn't believe that the Gentiles could receive all of this without doing something. And we're just about the same way today. Very people get born again, fill those spirits, and say, "Oh, man, that woman or that man just couldn't have gotten it that simple. We better make them do something to see if they can prove that they're really got it." "Then remembered I the word of the Lord." It's good to remember the word of the Lord. That's right. "Then remembered I the word of the Lord." Look, let me ask you a question. When something greater comes, what happens to the lesser by sheer logic? It's got to go. Otherwise, can you explain to me the grace of God? With the coming of the grace of God into the church, what about the law? The law terminated. Christ is the end of what? The law to everyone that believeth. Christ the end of it. This is a spiritual truth that whenever the greater comes, the lesser terminates. Why do you need the lesser if the greater is there? You don't. It's a contradiction if you say you do. Take like tithing. Do we as Christian believers have to tithe? No. Why not? Because tithing was under what? The law. Therefore, as Christian believers, we don't do anything. Would that be the law? Would that be grace? No. Now, with the coming of the Holy Spirit, that was greater than water baptism, right? So with the coming of the greater, the lesser went out. With the coming of the grace of God, the tithe went out. Tithing is a law. We're not under law, we're under grace. Therefore, grace does not do less than the law, it does more. This is why these verses sit like diamonds in there, and they just thrill the heart of a man or a woman who wants to understand them. But if you don't want to understand them, God Almighty can't help you or I or anyone else. But for people who really want to know the answers and who want to quit fighting God, and people, when we do not teach the Word of God accurately, we're fighting God, and that's a losing ball game. Fight people, but you can't fight God. Who do you think you are? Well, some people think they must be bigger than God because they're always saying things contrary to what God says. You just make up your mind if the Bible is the Word of God, and if it is the Word of God, it means what it says, says what it means. That settles it. If nobody believes it, it's still God's Word. Nobody wanted to give them water any worse than Peter. I sometimes think he would have appreciated drowning them. Because, people, you just don't get into the pale unless you become a proselyte. Remember that? Here were these Gentiles, worse than dogs. And boy, they walked in the fullness of God without doing a thing. They didn't even come to the altar and have a crying good time. They missed out on something. Or did they? No. They just took God at His word, and Peter preached the word to them. And as Peter preached, old Cornelius and his household and the rest of the people there believed. And as they believed, there it was. And when Peter wanted to take him out and give him a little water treatment, then he remembered. Wish to God preachers would remember today. We certainly need it. Wish the organized church would again just come to God's word. You see, it's been the wrong teaching of the word that divides the body. The body is hurt. The body is hurt in the wrong teaching of the word. And if we got to come to the word is bigger than anybody's theology or anybody's doctrine or anybody's beliefs. The word is the word of God, no matter what man's doctrine or theology or belief. It's God's word. Right. Then remembered I the word of the Lord. Boy, oh boy, how that burns my heart. How that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but he shall absolutely be baptized with the pneumahagion, Holy Spirit. For as much then, verse 17, as God gave them what? The like gift, the like gift, as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was I that I could withstand what? Isn't that tremendous? No matter how much he wanted to water baptize him, when the thing flashed into his mind, I remembered what the Lord said. Peter said, well, who was I that I could withstand God? He went God's way rather than Peter's way. And that's a tremendous thing for Peter, because Peter was so used to going his own way. Tremendous thing for all of us when we start going God's way instead of our own way, because we're so used to going our own way, it's a little difficult going God's way sometimes. It is for some of us at least, isn't it? Then, who was I that I could withstand God? Verse 18 says, when those people that were gathered there were trying to put the pressure on Peter and ridicule him for what he had done, when those people that were there heard these things, they held their peace. And they glorified what? God, saying. These people were opposed to what Peter did, right? They thought Peter was all wrong. And yet they gave Peter a chance to declare, rehearse, it says, to declare, to expound to them exactly what had happened. And after they had heard him out, after they had listened to what he had to say, those people who had been against him changed their mind. Wish to God people do this today. I wish the people would give the Way Ministry an opportunity to declare the word to them and make up their mind after they have heard the word, whether it's the word or whether it's VP Werewell or Johnny Jump Up or Snowball Pete's idea. I wish they'd listen to you. Expound the word to them. And when you get through expounding the word, then they make up their mind whether it's the word or not. And they would do the same then as now as they did then when they said, all right, that is the word of God. Now those people didn't like Peter to begin with. You know, they thought he had really gone off his rocker. They thought he had defiled and desecrated everything that's religious and spiritual. But after Peter had declared to them the whole truth as to how it all happened, that wonderful word is written that just blesses our heart. They said, They glorified God, and they said, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto what? Life. And it's remarkable they use the word repentance. Because when you repent, you're born again of God's Spirit and you receive eternal life. It is really terrific, isn't it? In Acts chapter 2, keep your finger in 11, we'll be back. But in Acts chapter 2, after the original outpouring on the day of Pentecost, Peter preaches that first sermon in the church. And in verse 38, at the conclusion of that wonderful message, Peter said unto them on that day of Pentecost, repent, repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the what? Remission of sins. When you repent, you get what? Remission of sins. And ye shall absolutely receive, lambano is the word, not dekomai. You shall lambano the gift. You shall lambano the gift. The gift is spirit. You cannot see spirit. But when you lambano it, you see the power that makes it available, which is the spirit in you. You see the manifestation of that power that's within. This is why in Acts chapter 11, then God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto what? Life. When they repent, they get remission of sins, which is to receive eternal life. Verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch. Sometime be sure to take your maps in the back of your Bible and check these places where they all traveled through under the persecution. Like Philip went down to where? Samaria. Others, because of the persecution, went down to Phoenix, Cyprus, Antioch, preaching the word to none but the what? Right. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they were come to Antioch, they spake unto the Grecians, the Gentiles again, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. Why is the hand of the Lord with them? The key lays in verse 19, it said they preached the what? The word. In verse 20, it says preaching what? The Lord Jesus. Whenever the word is preached, the Lord Jesus is preached, and that is why the hand of the Lord is with them. The hand of the Lord cannot be with the people who are not preaching the Lord Jesus Christ or the word. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then, when this occurred in this tremendous city, it's really interesting because they started out to preach the word to whom? Jews only. That's right. But there were some people who started preaching to the Greeks, the Gentiles, the word of the Lord. And boy, when they preached it, the Gentiles believed. And a great number turned to the Lord. And tidings, you know, the news of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go track all this down, even as far as where? Antioch. They wanted Barnabas to check it out to see if it was kosher, to see if it was genuine, because they had an awful time in Jerusalem to think it could be genuine. So they sent Barnabas, verse 23, who? Barnabas, when he came and he had seen the lot, the grace of God, not the good works of the Gentiles or of the Jews, but when he saw the grace of God, the divine favor of God to the, both the Jews and the Gentiles. Barnabas was glad. He was tickled to death. And he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. For he, Barnabas, was a good man. The reason he was a good man, because the next phrase says he was full of the Holy Spirit. That's what made him a good man. And in great believing, great faith, and much people, many people were added to what? The Lord. Now when Barnabas gets up there and he sees all of this which is happening, and the grace of the Lord is upon the people, and he sees this, Barnabas goes to Tarsus to get a fellow by the name of Saul. His Hebrew name, his Greek name was Paul. And verse 26 says, when he had found him, he brought him, Saul, unto Antioch. And it came to pass that for a whole year, they, Barnabas, and the rest of these people who were leaders and teachers, they, for a whole year, not for a weekend of leadership seminars, but for one whole year, these leaders assembled themselves together. And these leaders taught much people in Antioch. And it is here in Antioch that the disciples were called Christians first. This is the place they were first called Christians, because to be a Christian is to be born again of God's Spirit, which is Christ in you. And since they were preaching and teaching the word in Antioch, they were saying to the people, it is Christ in you. And so the outsiders, pointing to this new group of believers, said, they are Christians, Christ in, Christ in, Christian, Christians. That's how we got the name of Christian attached to the born-again believer. This is the great and wonderful record of the outmoving, or the moving out of the greatness of God's Word in the early church. And in those days, in verse 27, came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. See, not only were there teachers in Antioch, but there were prophets. There are five ministries: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. These ministries were in the early church in Antioch. They came down from Jerusalem, special prophets. And there stood up one of them, one of those prophets, name was Agabus. And he signified by the Spirit that there was going to be a great dearth throughout all the world, which would come to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea because of the dearth and the famine, which also they did. And they sent it to the elders back in Jerusalem by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. That's the early church. That's the ministry of the early church. This is why you ought to read the first century church in the 20th, and the booklet entitled The Word's Way or Our Way. I want to show you one more scripture which you need in connection with verse 28 of this 11th chapter, and that's Deuteronomy 18, 22. Deuteronomy 18. 22. Here is a verse of scripture for our learning, which we ought to learn with a great clarity of mind, and from tonight on know it for a certainty that it is God's word. 18 of Deuteronomy. We hear talks about prophetesses and prophets today and all of these things. Verse 20, I guess, we'll start reading. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou shalt say in thy heart, How shall we know the word which the Lord hath spoken? How can we know the genuine from the counterfeit prophet or prophetess? Listen to verse 22. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, if it does not happen, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously out of himself. Now it does not say that it'll just come to pass once in a great while, because what we're talking today is that the prophet and the prophetess can miss it. They can be wrong on their prophecies. That is not true. If it's a prophet of the Lord and the prophecy is given to that prophet, it's never off color. It's never wrong. It always comes to pass. If it doesn't come to pass, it is not a prophetess or a prophet that has spoken it. And the Lord said we ought to know that. In the early church, they knew it. Today, inside of the church, we don't know it because we do not know God's word. That's the greatness of the record in this wonderful 11th.